Hey, welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzi. Friends, we have a great episode today. I sat down with my friend, Tim Reynolds. He is the VP of Digital Marketing at Big Machine Label Group. Not only does he break down what he does in a day, but he really gets into the nuts and bolts of what you as an artist can do to better brand yourself, to really get out there in the world of content and social media. And man, I'm telling you, this is a fantastic episode. So sit back and enjoy the ride. Hey, welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzi. Very excited to be sitting with my coworker, actually, and friend, Mr. Tim Reynolds, who is the VP of Digital Marketing here at Big Machine Label Group. So Tim, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me, Tim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, man. And funny how this one came about. We were actually at a show celebrating Big Machine's 20th anniversary, and Tim and I hadn't really gotten to know each other, and we were just sitting there, and I was asking him a lot of questions. We're just sharing stuff, and I stopped in the middle of our convo. I said, man, I would love to have you on the podcast because I think people are going to want to know what you have to say. And generously, Tim agreed to jump on here. So thanks again. I'm really excited. But let's get started, man. Let's give a little background on you and where you're from and how you kind of got here, because you have a little bit of a story, as I know.
Yeah. Happy to jump in. So I grew up one in Dallas, went to school up in Boston at Berklee College of Music, did jazz guitar there. Quickly figured out I was not the best guitarist and got really interested in the business side of things. So jumped in, first job out of school was with the Sony JV out in LA. So I was really fortunate to land that just through networking, you know, via an internship I did back during school. Was at that JV for about 2 years before moving over to RCA and did A&R over at RCA for about 8 years before moving over to TikTok for a few years. So did a music strategy role at TikTok, focusing on Sound On, which was TikTok's music distribution product. And after a couple of years of that, decided that it was time to switch it up, get back to the label side of things, move from LA to Nashville with my family, and jumped in a Big Machine.
What is digital marketing? What's your day like? What does that all involve?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think, you know, the line between marketing and digital marketing just is getting more and more blurry. You know, we like to basically draw the line between, okay, digital is going to be obviously all things digital in the digital space, internet, socials, etc. And then your marketing is, you know, that when I think about marketing too at a record label, it's like, think of a wheel. It's really the hub of the wheel. So it's really the quarterback of the entire artist, that project, driving it through the building, working with the external artist teams. Marketing at the label is like that core, like product marketing, product management functionality combined with then like the full creative strategy of the product. Like what are, you know, who is the artist? What are the brand pillars around the project? And then, like I said, everything ex-digital, so anything experiential in real life, I hate the word conventional, but I use it a lot, the conventional marketing around a project. So that's the marketing part. And then digital now is, okay, how do we bring basically and bridge and make sure that we're expressing like everything we're talking about from this, you know, the music, the A&R, the records, the brand pillars, the narrative, how are we expressing that and telling that story in the digital space?
Well, who are the clients on the that you deal with for the artist? And when I say clients, like who he has the most relationships with and is building brands. So like touch on like, okay, we deal with social media over here. We deal with the DSPs over here. Like, what does that look like? What kind of relationship are you building with them? And what does that look like for the artist? If that's a clear question.
Yeah. So let's break it up into a couple of different buckets too. So we have, you know, everything we do with the artist around setting up a release, for example. So we'll bucket it out in terms of the way I think about digital and digital marketing is three different core pillars. One is like artist content. So that's anything and everything you see coming from the artist, again, for what we're talking about in the digital space. So that's their content you see on their socials. We work hand in hand, lockstep with our creative team on the actual long form content for YouTube, for example, your music videos. We'll do episodic content pieces, you know, the actual album artwork, the photos, et cetera. This is content. So that's one ginormous pillar and bucket. Another is we'll work with, like you mentioned, our digital partners. So that's your Meta, your, you know, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, of course. will work with them in two different capacities. One is from a partnership standpoint. So how can we work with you to help just provide more exposure for our artists? But then we'll also obviously utilize their platforms too to build actual communities around our artists. And then we have the real like kind of one-to-one relationship that we have between our artist and the fan. And that's like CRM, which basically means how are we providing that channel for, again, conversation between our artists and the fans. We want to be able to message them. We don't necessarily want to be relying on all these platforms. We want to be able to have and own that relationship. So those are sort of the three different buckets that we think about in terms of, okay, what's available to us as a digital marketing team at a label to help our artists win.
This feels like a lot to take in when you're working with an artist. I guess what's the easiest way to start for you? Like if I'm an artist and I'm listening to this or I'm part of a team, do you start with the initial, like really sitting with the artist, really grasping who their brand is and then build from there? Like, I don't even know what the starting point is.
Absolutely.
Fill out those buckets.
Absolutely. Yes. That's the starting point is we got to sit and we do this too. And I love, this is my favorite part of the job, favorite part of anything. It's, hey, we're going to sit with, you know, with basically the full label team is going to come together. So it's not just marketing. This is going to be marketing and digital, yes, but with creative, with A&R, within Big Machine, you know, we have multiple imprints. So with our imprint heads, our promo team, this is everybody basically coming to the table with the artist to say, hey, like, and my goodness, I cannot forget publicity. This is like absolutely crucial in this process too, but it's tell us basically what, like what this next phase of music that you're releasing, what's it going to be? Like, give us your vision basically. And that conversation is so vital for really being able to set the table in terms of, okay, now what are we going to go out and build? What are we going to go out and do? But it is, it's a very, you know, it's almost like a therapy kind of conversation of tell us what you're into, tell us what you're thinking. We just did this with Jack Wharf Band yesterday.
Big
what are you guys
fan.
Writing about conceptually? Like, what are you reading? What other mediums are you into? What TV shows are you watching? What are you guys into on your socials? What, you know, like books are you into? What movies? Like, just tell us kind of like your day-to-day, your life, like, what are the things that you're into right now? Why? And then now as you're thinking about, okay, like 2026, how is that informing the music that you guys are like even just now starting to maybe write or conceptualize? And then talk to us too, again, going back to some of those other mediums like, you know, TV, film, et cetera. What is out there that is like sort of in the direction that you're going to, like from a, you know, a branding kind of standpoint or an aesthetic standpoint. But yeah, that conversation is like literally laying the groundwork.
And then for you and your role, you'll go from that conversation and that process. What starts sparking your thought process and your imagination, creativity to like build out like a campaign for an artist? Because like, again, you have a rather large palette of things you're looking at. So
yeah,
what's generally your next steps? Like what, walk me a little bit through that process of what that looks like for you.
Yeah, so that's where too A&R is like kind of crucial next step, right? Because then with A&R, you're going to start to actually get the music together, and we've got to have that too. So before, like we're basically in parallel while A&R is going to be working on the music with the artist, we're in parallel going to start to work in terms of, okay, what do we think are like some core brand pillars for this next phase of music for this artist? Those are going to be like your really short and sweet, like maybe 2 to 5 word kind of phrases that help you just start to define what the project means. So like Jack Wharf Band, one of the things we like kind of for like the phase they're in right now is just American Band. Take that for what it is, you know, whatever kind of imagery that brings up for you. But it can be these really like short, sweet phrases that again, help us just now put little like words on paper that we can all reference back to. So we're gonna be doing that as the marketing team with publicity, as an A&R is getting music together. And then when music really starts to come together, okay, now we have an idea of the actual songs, like we'll have some sort of project that's shaping up. And that's when we can start thinking about, okay, now, based on, again, that initial conversation to really set the table, the vision that is now like really being much more crystallized and defined, we can think about, for example, let's just tackle socials as like the first pillar in content. Well, what kind of content are we gonna make? And we start defining what's called like content strategy for socials. So we'll do that too on sort of a project level And then we'll dig a little bit deeper and do that too, specifically for each of the releases that we're doing ahead of a project. So each of the advanced tracks too will have like their own very specific content strategy on socials. And of course, it's going to be cohesive with like the larger project, but we'll get granular too with each specific track in terms of, well, okay, the lyrical concept for this song is going to resonate with these specific audiences on socials. We're thinking too about, of course, the creative and what it looks and feels like. Okay, what kind of short form content, you know, could align with that aesthetic? And then similarly too, where are those communities on socials that are going to resonate with that type of creative and that type of short form content? So that's how we're starting to think about now short form content strategy that then we're going to go use to actually go shoot that short form content with the artists themselves. So that's one bucket, right? And then the other bucket is going back to, okay, our platforms, what are they doing? So we'll think sort of like high level platforms will always basically have different tentpoles throughout the year. So based on timing, what aligns with, for example, October Country Music Month? What do we have coming from a planning standpoint that we can plug into that? And then going back to the CRM or community building, we're going to take, so these again are our three core pillars. We're going to take too what we know of now, the music that's come together as the project is being defined. We're going to use that to really structure our messaging and the right type of community building that we want to do as we're releasing and leading up to this project.
Is there a campaign that maybe you could show that builds out each one of these that you've seen? I know you've been mentioning Jack Wharf, who I'm familiar with, because they're a brand new artist. Can you maybe go have an example of an artist that you've worked with and gone, okay, here's kind of what we did. Here's kind of what we did. You can see where the brand's built out, how we built the fan engagement and at that level.
Yep. I think a really good one to look at would be, let's even look at, for example, the Riley Green Worst Way music video release. That was something too that was like, I came in top of January of this year. That release happened, I think, like mid-February. I want to say February 19th, but don't hold me to it. Yeah. But regardless, the team in place here at Big Machine in Nashville Harbor, which is the imprint that Riley signed to within Big Machine, already had the bones of like an amazing plan set up around this video. Creative had already shot the video. Everybody's seen it. It's exactly what you want from Riley Green for Worst Way. It's literally perfect. So shout out to you for like literally the best music video, an excellent execution from Creative, a great plan too that the marketing and digital team here at Big Machine in Nashville Harbor already had in place. But what we did around that was thinking about, okay, who is Riley, right? Let's think about, okay, just the artist that he is, everything that he means, everything that he represents, the song Worst Way, the lyrical, you know, the actual lyrical story of it, the music video, the visuals that we have for that. Okay, now where could we put this in different pockets of the internet that are going to really spark potential, like, I hate the word viral, but I'm going to say it, like potential viral conversation. So our team had an amazing idea of like, okay, well, you know, there's Riley in a bathrobe. Let's, you know, grab a bunch of these bathrobes. We found it actually on Amazon, ordered a bunch of those, sent them to some creators online that we knew were in the right pockets, and put a campaign together of, hey, like, let's have you guys all post with this bathrobe with this specific gift to looping a part of the video on your channels all at the same time. We're going to seed that out. Similarly, we work with a few like country broadcast channels. So as those different, you know, this is like sort of first layer is seeding out like these different creator posts. Then we're going to lay on top of that this larger sort of now genre-based page broadcast channel posts to amplify that ground level that we have. And all of this is then going to continue to snowball into conversation that this is right before the video release. It's going to snowball then into anticipation for the video actually going live. Then when it goes live, it's basically like, you know, it's just a fire already started, ready for gasoline. And so then once the video is already live, then we're able to pour on another campaign on top of that and just more widely now seed out content, specific sections of the video, et cetera, and just like really start driving that conversation.
Yeah, that one hit really well.
That one hit beautifully.
That video.
So again, you've got a great video. You've got a great record. You got all the pieces there.
Do you find that artists might get overwhelmed or burn out? And how do you manage that as a marketing person to manage their time, and all that they have to do? Because this sounds like a nonstop life, like literally nonstop.
And, Absolutely. And I think that's a really, really important thing to note too. And we've got to put it in proper context of we're a full company, a full label, working also with artists that have typically, for the most part, you know, 90-95% of our artists are also signed to incredible managers with very robust infrastructure as well. They likely have publishing, they have agents. There are teams of people around these artists that we're working with because, yes, like once you get to a certain point, in order to just cover the bases, it requires a village. That is like, there's no getting around that. However, the flip side of that is, and this is something too that we're always doing, I think, you know, now more than ever, because there's an infinite number of things you could do. There's an infinite amount of channels even that you could pursue. Being able to really focus is key and crucial. So that's something too that we're always trying to do. And I think it's a constant like swimming against the current to try to do that as well, to just say, hey, where do we really need to focus, especially for our developing artists on the roster? You know, who, you know, thinking about our developing artists, we have a handful. We mentioned Jack Orff Band, we have Preston Cooper, we have so many, and it's so crucial to look at, okay, well, developing artists, we might have a smaller in terms of comparison or proportion, we might have a smaller audience. It's crucial for us to know though, like who they are in a very deep and intentional way so that we can focus in on them and we can focus in on people like them. And that's where, yes, like you have a million channels at your disposal. When you're just starting out though, you have to know who are my first, it's the like 1,000 fans principle. Who are like my first 10 to 100 to 1,000 fans? And I'm really going to double down and focus on those people.
Is there a platform that's more valuable that you try to push your clients toward, your artists? I mean, you know, like, do they need to get more significant numbers on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, or should they really spend more of their energy faced with the DSPs, or is it specific to what each artist and who they have built?
Yeah, we take it, it's case by case. And again, it's very specific to the artist. It's specific to who they are, what kind of music they're making, visually to what kind of content they're making.
If you're starting out, would you think it'd be advantageous, say I'm a young artist starting out, to focus, hyper-focus on one particular platform to start with, or experiment across all platforms?
I think again, it's going to depend on, I'm going to put it in two different buckets. I'm going to say there, if you're an artist that has a really, really, really like very well-defined, crystal clear idea of who you are as an artist and who then your fans could be, you could probably start with one and focus a little bit better. If you're still a little bit unsure, you're still figuring out who you are as an artist, you're still figuring out what kind of music do I even want to make, what's my sound, et cetera, what's my brand? In that case, there are plenty of tools out there that make it really easy to do what's called like syndicate posting, or cross-post from, you know, your Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts. So you're covering those four platforms as just like pure basis, throw in Snapchat if you can. But I would in that case recommend, okay, let's cross post a bunch of these multiple platforms too, and let's see then where you start to gain initial traction.
That makes sense. It's kind of a shotgun approach till you see what
exactly
you
got and see some traction. But that's again, if you don't have that clear idea of like who you are, who you're going for. I think if you've got that, it's a little bit easier than to target and focus.
Yeah, makes complete sense to me. I want to back up just to hear, you'd mentioned something and I wrote down a note to clarify. I kind of know the answer to this question, but you mentioned views and engagement. What is the difference between views and engagement?
Yeah. So views, put simply, are, you know, the number of views that you have on a post or video. The engagements themselves are like your comments, like shares, favorites, saves. So we'll look at, for example, a lot of time in terms of the quality of a post is what's called an engagement rate. So, okay, out of the total number of views you have, what's the percent of engagements against that number of views?
It's probably, I'm going to assume, the most important factor, or what you would like to see, is more of the engagement side. Like, not only that they saw it, but like, okay, they did something here. There was a trigger in that view of some sort.
Yes and no. Depends. It depends. What we want to see is, right, we're looking for, like, ultimately, again, as the label, like, we're looking to drive consumption. So we're wanting to see a conversion from social activity to some kind of consumption, you know, that could be social activity to streaming consumption. Mm-hmm. And that's where where still it's the jury's out in terms of which one is a more positive correlation. Is it views or is it engagements? Still tough to say. I think if anything, if we're going to have to pick one, we're going to look at shares, but really it can be a combination of those things.
Got it. So for label in general, I'm breaking that down into what you want to see is not just whatever view or engagement, but if the streams and the consumption of the music goes up, it's a win for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Because we're as the label, like that's what we're looking for. And it's not going to do much for us if things are just happening in a social platform. If it stays there, it has to translate out.
We've mentioned this a little bit, but what are the key metrics that you watch when or most closely watch to see and evaluate how a campaign's working or how the content is connecting?
Yeah. So if we've got a song that's out, it's already released, we're going to look at just lift in streaming consumption or lift in sales. So if the record's out, again, that's all we're looking at. If it's pre-release, then we're very granularly tracking pre-release numbers. So we'll set up a pre-release campaign and we want to try to drive that number as high as we can.
For you, Tim, what is advice you can give to an artist? It's not, you know, we all know there are some that are just grown up and gifted toward social media and know how to kind of brand it, but what's advice you can give to those that it doesn't come natural to, they struggle with? Because, man, we all know that there is an absolute expectation at some point.
Yeah.
You need to build content. I will be the first to say I don't feel that's the only thing. I think there's other ways.
Yeah, I agree. It's not the only thing. It's not the only thing.
But some of it's needed. So, you know, to brand yourself. Is there advice you give or what can you tell them or to try to, you know, get them more engaged in their socials to help dive some of that?
Yeah, I mean, from again, just like a high level perspective standpoint, I think it's really helpful to just like have the right frame of mind. Like, why are you doing this? If again, you want to be an artist, just my thought on this is, my perspective is, well, it's the, you know, most efficient, lowest cost way to distribute my content to a mass volume of people. Like, that's pretty incredible to recognize. We haven't really had that opportunity in history much before. So that's amazing in and of itself. So I think like having the right perspective can kind of help get over that barrier. And then in terms of like the actions, the tactical side of it, I think it can be helpful too to find a few artists that are making content in a way that does seem approachable and doable to you. Have those as like templates or references. And then if all else fails, know too that, my goodness, there are so many artists that have had records go crazy and explode just off of like propping up their iPhone on their kitchen table against a coffee cup, pulling out their guitar or standing in front of their keyboard and literally just playing a verse and part of a chorus. That can be enough.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzi, producer Brandon Harrington, mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.